Well, good morning on this blustery day with all the wind and the snow. Yesterday we went to Indiana, Pennsylvania, not Indiana. See, when I met Mark and Git Murphy, they're the missionaries that came here. When was that? When did they come? October. Well, whenever he says, well, where are you from? When we're getting to know him, he's going, Indiana. I go, oh yeah, we live close there. We're in Ohio, And he go, no, Pennsylvania. I'm going, what? Indiana, come on, let's get a little bit more creative. But maybe one was before the other, so I don't know what happened there. So somebody copied one another, but it was one of those days of driving that you just say, well, let's not do that again if we don't have to. Unless there's a good reason. There was good reason because there's Thai food on the other side. Ooh-wee. Sticky rice is still here too. So it's going to take a little while to take that sticky rice off. All right. Well, getting into this word and going back to 1 Samuel, my Bible's always upside down because I can never tell which side is up here. But, it's amazing. You think that, 1 Samuel just is easy and things like that. But as you read it, God just continues to, teach in many different ways. I mean, as we found out even with the Bible study at Ephesians in the morning, Sunday school class, I mean, you go at it and you go through it a little bit, but there's more to it. And actually, as we grow in Christ in our walk with Him, we are to read the Bible. And Joy has read it many years in a row. I think the last 30 or something years, I've read it all every year. And it's amazing how it changes you, and how you can read the same verse. And even in our life group, we're going through Exodus. And I'm kind of going, I've been through that so many times. I can tell you the story without even reading it, but He teaches us new things. Where you're at, God's Spirit just moves and just challenges you and shows you something where, oh, whoa, what have I been doing all this time? Why have I been doing that? Or even an encouragement to go, yeah, you're heading the right way and keep stepping forward. So, it is a live word. It is active. It is powerful. So I really, we continue to encourage everybody to get a reading plan. We have our own reading plan and just start going through it. It doesn't hurt. Maybe your eyes, maybe a little bit if you read too much, but, just read it. Ask the Lord to open up, to teach you what He would like to teach you by the power of His Holy Spirit, and just see how He brings things alive, and Alistair and his devotional, it says, may your word become alive in me. Make it come alive in me. And that's a great prayer to have, because once it becomes alive in us, then we'll be able to live that faith, not just talk about it, but actually live it before people around us. And that's the important part, and that's what God is after for us as well. 1 Samuel, Samuel's obedient, and he's trying to follow what the Lord has for him, even though he might not really agree to it, but he's obedient to it, right? Anointing a king, because he knows that the people of Israel have rejected the Lord as king, and that's pretty serious, actually, to do that. And I don't suggest that for you in our daily walk, because we need him as well. The title, Ready or Not, Here's Your King, is there for a reason, because I was going, man, this guy, there's some issues going on with Saul. And maybe that's something that will encourage us as well as we go through. I know when we were over in Thailand learning a new language and ready or not, here he comes. Well, in our language study, ready or not, you need to go up and speak. And I think there was one time they had me preach at there was a little gathering at a church plant or whatever, and I was supposed to preach that, and I was very young in the word and the language, and I was going, oh boy,
And it was your first sermon ever. You hadn't even preached in English.
Really? I thought I always preached. Maybe I was preaching to somebody else. Preaching to myself. So for me, getting up, and you're trying to put things together, trying to remember your vocab and stuff like that. Well, it's just I got up there and I would have, you know, I think I felt like Saul in this, in a point to, you know, as we go on in this passage, Saul hid away, you know, he wasn't really ready. Well, I found myself really kind of wanting to hide and have somebody get up there and do it, you know, but I got up there. Now I spoke. I don't know if anybody understood what I said. I sure understood what I said, you know, but the other people, I don't know. I think Ty are so gracious. They're going, yeah. Yeah. And then afterwards going, did you ever understand anything you said? I don't know. But maybe said some things I shouldn't have said. But those are challenges that we have, you know, in our lives, you know, ready or not, you're tested, right? You get tested. Sometimes they give you a pop quiz, right? You go to class or something like that, or there's something going on at work, whatever, and bingo, here you go. You go, oh, I wasn't ready for that one. Or you got to, oh, don't forget to double dog dare use. Right? When you come up and buddies and they go, I double dog dare you. You go, oh, I'm just not ready, but I'll do it anyways. And you end up with bruises and broken bones and all that stuff. Oh, Jeff we're vibing right here. We're connecting here, right? So you got all these things, you know, ready or not, life happens. Ready or not, life happens. And even for Saul. Okay, and at the context, you know, we had to go through a little bit of this. If you went back to verse 20, you know, as the donkeys, you know, he was looking for these donkeys, and he was with Samuel. Samuel says, don't worry about donkeys, they're already found. He says, and then Samuel says this to Saul. He says, and to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line? Whoa. Well, where are you coming up with this, boy? I'm looking for donkeys, and you're telling me you want me to be your king. And I'm going, oh, man. Oh, my. I can't even compare that. You know, it's kind of like if I walked outside and people said, well, you're the president of the United States. I'd be going, I don't think so. Where is the baggage I'm going to hide? That type of thing, right? It's snowing out there again. So, but... Yes, we can build snowmen later. These type of things, though, you know, God just moves. You know, he's moving his kingdom. His plan is going forward. And if ready or not, it is moving forward, and he is going to complete it. So that's one thing, kind of like a snowball. You start forming it, and it starts rolling. It's just going to roll and roll and get bigger and bigger and bigger, especially as you push it downhill. And in verse 21, it goes a little bit further. And then Saul answered him. He says, but I am, now he's trying to get out of it, but I am not but look at me. Am I not a Benjamite, you know, the small tribe, you know, and from the smallest tribe of Israel, and it's not my clan, the least of all the clans of the tribes of Benjamin. Why do you say such things to me? So you can see where he's just going, what are you throwing at me here? You know, he's not ready to grab hold. So, that's where he's at. But the Lord just determined to anoint him. He gave Samuel the command, and Samuel was following through, even though he did not like it. So he gave him, as Steve was reading there, a private, did you notice? A private coronation ceremony, because nobody was there, just him. It was just Saul and Samuel. Even the servant, they said, send him ahead. So even Samuel is just kind of going, I'm not sure. I want, you know, Samuel doesn't even call him king. He just calls him prince or ruler. You know, he can't even get the words out of his mouth. It's so distasteful for him to think about a king other than the true king, the king of kings. So he's just not ready to that. But then he goes through and he kisses Saul, and he gets the oil out and anoints him. And that's the first time anybody other than a priest has been anointed with oil. And so it's a big thing, but it's a private ceremony. Nobody else knows. Ooh, how weird. I mean, in England, they have their kings and queens and things like that, you know, and in Thailand as well, you know, but you know, they wouldn't be hiding out or doing private ceremonies. They do it in big old ways so everybody knows. But for some reason, Samuel and Saul were alone. Maybe we'll understand why as we go on. We'll see. There in verse, at the end of verse, it says, at the end of verse 1 on chapter 10, it says, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" Wow. That's some serious responsibility, right? Serious responsibility. I know some of you probably experienced that in your, in a job or at school or some other position where people just all of a sudden they didn't even tell you, they just say, "Now you're this." You're going, whoa, I didn't know anything about this. So there's a lot of things going on here. And so a question we can think about as we're going through this passage together is, how can we be ready for this king or for what the Lord has for us? I mean, how do we get prepared? What does it take? What does it look like? All right, so as we go through that, we can try to remember that type of question, see if we can answer that together today. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, we come before you humbly, knowing that you are the one who, this is your word, this is what you have had written for us to teach us and guide us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll bring the word alive for us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal things that we might not even have thought about before or knew before. Things even reminding us and teaching us and challenging us in our own walk with you. Father, I just ask that your name be glorified, that you'll guide my words by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So really what's happening, you know, here's Samuel saying, well, this is going to happen, you know, you're going to go to this tomb here, you're going to meet, the donkeys are already caught, you know, you don't worry about them, and, you just have to go. Go. And this is what's going to happen when you go. When you go to all these areas, you're going to find out that you're going to meet some people, three men. They're going to go to worship God at Bethel, and they're going to meet you there, and they're going to have this food with them. They're going to give you a couple of loaves of bread, and you can accept them. And then he says, after that, you're going to go to Gibeah of God. There in verse 5, where there's a Philistine outpost, so the Philistines are under control of their area still. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high places with lyres and timbrels, pipes and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Woo. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Affirming, yet, wow. Where you're going, whoa, you know, changing me. So Saul's hearing all this from Samuel. I'm pretty sure he's just kind of going, you know, it's coming right here. Maybe he enters here and is kind of going, twirling around and going back out. We don't know how much is coming back into his heart, really, where he's grasping what's being said. But Samuel's given him three signs. Have you noticed that? Three signs. And one of them, you know, for him, you know, that authentication, you know, where even when you're doing something on a computer and you're doing something with a bank or whatever, and for them to verify who you are, they have to send a little code to authenticate. It's really your identity. And then you have to go through that process. Well, the same thing, you know, this is for Saul. This is kind of like a crash course, because as we've understood a little bit about Saul at this point, he doesn't seem to have a clue who God is. He doesn't really see, he didn't know Samuel, the leader of the country, the priest going around teaching for how many years before this. He said he had no clue. And his walk with God certain didn't seem to be anything that anybody's talking about anyways. So we have to kind of believe that this guy is just kind of a farmer, a donkey herder, and he's just living life the way he likes. Okay, that's what we have to presume about Saul. So now the crash course. Have you ever taken an intensive course for your job or school where they will crush everything into a 1 or 2 week class? Yeah, Chris is going, oh yeah. Yeah, the frown is there, yes. It is intense. It's coming at you, and they're throwing so much info, and you're just going, yeah, yeah. And then when you walk out of class, you kind of go, what did they just say? And you got all the notes, and you're writing as furiously as you can, and you're just tired. And at the end of the intensive, you get out and kind of go, oh, I got that done. I don't know what it was about, but I got it done. All right, they gave me a certificate or whatever it is, or I got my 3 units. Now I can move on with my studies, things like that. You know, that's pretty much what it is. God's doing a crash course on Saul. And one thing, that first sign with those two men telling about his donkey being found, the donkey's being found, what God is doing there is he's teaching Saul. He's teaching Saul that he can help him, that he can solve all of his problems. You know, he can find the donkeys. So he's teaching him these simple things that Saul didn't know about God. He didn't know God probably hardly at all. Now, the second sign, you know, with the pilgrims and all the food and stuff like that, and he receives the 2 loaves, and he's really teaching Saul that he can provide for all his needs. So he can help him solve problems. He can provide for his needs. And the third one, which got even more detailed, and they talked about it a little bit more in the passage here, it was eventually where Saul was changed into another man. He was different now. You know, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, back then in the Old Testament times, God could give you the Holy Spirit, and then he could take it away from you. All right? It wasn't something that it was given around that. For today, for us here, since Christ died on a cross and rose again, you know, and when we receive Christ in our heart, we've received the stamping of the Holy, that seal, the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit with us, and God doesn't take it away from us. We might grieve the Spirit, we might quench the Spirit, but he will not take it away from us. And back then, if you remember King David, when he sinned and he was confessing his sins, and at one point he just said, please do not take your Holy Spirit away from me, as he prayed to God, because he knew he could do that. And actually he saw it, and as we study, continue on 1 Samuel, we'll understand more about that. But what's happening is God is teaching Saul that he can empower him, that he can enable him to do what he's supposed to do, and what his hand is set to do, to be the king of Israel and to lead it. He could do that for him. So he's giving him this big crash course. Boom! And these things are coming, you know, he's going through it, you know, right? He goes through it, everything. It says, there in verse 7, once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Verse 8, so go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what to do you are to do. And then Saul turned to leave Samuel, and as he did it, that's when God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. See, if you continue reading on, they're just describing what's happening. You know, when he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him, powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. So those prophets were prophesying, and now Saul started prophesying with them. Well, that's interesting, right? But that's showing how power, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon them. It's just like the time when the days of when Jesus, in the time of when he was going to be born, right? Before that, Elizabeth was with child with John the Baptist, actually. Yeah. And, when Mary came to visit her cousin, it must have been Elizabeth, the baby in her womb leapt, and she just prophesied, gave glory to God. That's what these guys were doing. They were just prophesying. They're just speaking things about God and all that he's done and all he'll do and all that stuff. And then Saul is also starts to join them in that. Amazing thing. I don't know about you. If somebody came up to you and started giving all these little details, this is going to happen to you. When you leave church today, you're gonna go to Dollar General and you're gonna meet a guy, and he's gonna have a big wallet, and he'll say, "Hey, this must be yours." Well, I know you. We'll just hold on there. I didn't tell you what was in the wallet, so right there. But nice reaction. I would have gotten there before you, because I would have pushed you to the side and that stuff that there too. It would have been a good fight though, I think there. So, but and then after that you go home and you got a big turkey dinner waiting for you. You don't know where it came from. Oh, somebody told you that there, somebody's going to come over there and just put it out there for you. And then you're going to be going for, into your job, and you're going to start just being, something's going to happen to you to where you could be the best guy on that job, the best teacher, the best engineer, whatever, best machinist, whatever it is that you're doing, And this is all going to happen. And then as we go through that day, everything happens as it was said. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of going, whoa, I'm blown away. it would just be an experience. In fact, I think if we really looked at back in our lives and stuff like that, we'd probably see things like that. Maybe not particularly laid out where somebody would tell us what's going to happen, but just experiencing amazing things, how God just like parts the Red Sea before us and just blesses us in many different ways, showing how great he is and that he is able to take care of us and solve problems and enable us to do what he has us to do, to honor him. The Spirit of the Lord. Well, there's an issue here. Because remember, this Saul, he doesn't seem to have a relationship with God, or much of one. And so a lot of this stuff is just going, even these details, right over him, even though he's prophesying, okay? And then not only is he a little bit, whoa, this is too much for me, but the people who knew him around him were starting to go, what? Because you go a little bit further down, and when all, there in verse 11 says, when all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? They're going, did Saul get religion? Can you see it? Can you hear it? What happened to this guy? It's kind of like Vonda starting to get her cowboy cup out and stuff. Vonda, what's wrong with you? Vonda, what happened to the Steelers? And that cowboy hat and the little brand, the brand, a little brand and things like that, all that stuff, and a Dallas Cowboy shirt. So we'd be going, what is happening to her? Same thing here. They're going, I know Saul. He's a donkey herder. In fact, he's a donkey. He's prophesying. You see words coming out of his lips, praising and glorifying God. He'd be going, That's not Saul. Something weird is happening here. So there's a lot of weird things, confusion going on, people asking questions. And who is their father? Somebody kind of mocking all the prophets, going, who are these guys? Get them out of here. They're crazy people. You know, is Saul also among the prophets? After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Even his uncle was asking him, you know, hey, what's going on? What's happening? And then when he told him, you know, he had a donkey who's found, and Samuel, you know, spoke to me and told me all these things. And he's going, well, what did Samuel say to you? See, he had kind of a little inkling that there's more to it, but Saul wasn't saying anything. Remember, a private coronation, he did not reveal yet, right? He wasn't ready to reveal it. It's a crazy situation, isn't it? It's a weird story. It's a weird passage, you know, these people. But then sometimes I know I can put myself in Saul's spot, though, in his place. Because I've been in those type of places, and I'm sitting there going, I'm just not ready. I don't want this. You know, let somebody else have it. I'm not ready for it. And everything's quiet. And then people be asking questions, you know, what's going on with you? And so there's just a lot of things going on there. It just doesn't seem to be anything good coming out of it. And then Samuel, though, he keeps rolling with the plan, right? Verse 17, it says, Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah. Remember Mizpah a few chapters back? And what happened there was, you know, the people of Israel, and how many years back this was, 20, 30, 40 years, I don't know. But they were convicted of their sin. They were convicted of their idol worship. And they confessed their sin. There was repentance. And then after that, there was a great victory over the Philistines. And then, remember, Samuel sets up the stone of Ebenezer in remembrance of God is faithful. He's helping us thus far. So they're coming back right to this place again. Yeah, Samuel knows what he's doing. He calls them to this place of repentance because these people are rebelling against God. This is another generation. You have to remember, this is another generation that's been growing up here. And listen to what he says. Oh, wait, hold up. We're going to hold on to that. We're going to keep on skipping ahead because there's a little bit more about this. See, Saul is untested and he is unimpressive by what I'm seeing. He's pretty unimpressive, though his physical stature is impressive. But many questions are going on. See, if we go further in the story here, just kind of skip ahead a little bit. They're going through this selection process of, you know, at Mizpah using the Urim and Thummim, I guess is what it's called. And some people say it was two flat rocks, and they just put them down, and it's either a yes or a no. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Casting lots, you know, but this is how God asked them to do it, you know, to cast these lots, to choose the tribe that was going to be of the kingly line, and then of the clan, and then all come down to that one person. And it came down to Saul there. And verse 22 says, so they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? Because he wasn't there. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find Saul. He was selected in the process, but they couldn't find him. Ali, Ali, oxen free. Saul, where are you, right? Where are you, man? You should be stepping up and going, yeah, I'm the king. You know, you should be jumping and leaping. I'm the bad boy. I'm the big guy, right? He should be doing that. And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself among the supplies. See, he's pretty smart there because there's probably cookies and cakes and things like that. Yeah, Sam and I are now connecting there. Because that, if I was going to hide a place, yeah, I'm hiding a place where there's some good food. All right, that's a good place for me. Some good food there. And then they said, they ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. So they're going, bring him, hey, come up here. And they go, oh, wow. Who is this guy? Who is this guy, this big old boy? Right? So they're kind of amazed. See, kind of an embarrassing situation. A guy hiding amongst the supplies, you're just kind of going, what is this guy, a child? Huh? Something a child would do. Right? So, but Samuel's smart, see, because look what he says next. Samuel said, so he distracts him. He starts pointing. He said, hey, he said to the people, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him. Look how tall he is. Look how good looking he is. There's no one like him in all of Israel. So he's trying to erase all the embarrassing part and just saying, look at this big boy. This is your king. But he didn't say king, right? He didn't name him king. And that's kind of where he's at. This is what the Lord, who the Lord chose. And then what did the people do? Long live the king! They're shouting out, yeah! Because you know what? Don't forget, their hearts are this. They want to be like all the other nations. They want a king just like all the other nations have. See, they want to be like all the other people. They're tired of being this unique people of God where you have to follow these rules and you kind of look weird to other people and you can't be like the other people. Just do whatever they want. Just live life free. They were tired of that. They didn't want it anymore. So they wanted a king just like the other guy over there. He's a big guy. He leads his armies. And yeah, that's what we want. And God even backed him up too, right? There as you continue on. There in verse 26, Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. So now God is providing him some men to go with him, to encourage him. But verse 27, some scoundrel said, "How can this fellow save us?" That's a good question, isn't it? Actually, that's a pretty good question. Because they've saw the guy, he's hiding among the baggage. He doesn't even want to be king. And now he's king, and he doesn't seem like know what's going on. And how can this guy save us? That's what I'd probably be asking like that. Kind of like some other people in our government and or around the world. We kind of go, well, how can that guy save us? They can't. That's the answer. They wanted something else. Maybe one of them, maybe one part of that group wanted to be king or something like that. I'm better than this guy. Maybe they're saying that. There's always detractors to these things. And then, of course, they despise him and brought him no gifts, but Saul kept silent. But going back a little bit more in this is this. See, Samuel's going to hold these people accountable, just like he did the other generation at Mizpah. See, he said, well, God, he's going to appoint you a king. But if you go back to Deuteronomy and look at that there in chapter 17, in verses 14 and 20, I'm not going to read over, but really it's just laying out what a godly king is. And this is the way your king is to be. Right? This is the way your king is to be. And he even got after him a little bit too. Because this is, then he just says this. He says there in verse 18, he says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God who saved you out of all your disasters and calamities. And you have said, no, appoint a king over us. So now present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans. So he got after them. He did not let them off the hook. And then he brought in, a little bit later on, he brought in this part about, there in 25, Samuel explained to the people the rights and duties of the kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people to go to their homes. So he's saying, get out of here. I'm through with you guys again. He did that before. Get out of here. Go to your homes. He did it now. He says, I'm done with you guys. You rebellious people, you. Unless you have a king that does follow, you know, write the law and follow all the law that God has spoken to them to follow. Then you have a godly king, a king that's going to be with a heart after God's own heart and lead his people in a godly way. Issue is, Saul wasn't ready. He was untested. Untested. You see, there's another Saul way in the future who hated the church, but he was well read in the scriptures, a man of God, and he thought he was doing God's work by persecuting the church of Christ. Yeah, he was doing a good thing until God gave him a crash course. And he laid him down, and he told him, you're persecuting me, and he did it in a way that blinded him and caused him to change his heart. He changed Saul's heart to where he opened up his eyes to all the scripture that he read before, and now it was coming alive to him. Now all those words were starting to point, all that scripture, all the prophecy, all the law was pointing to Christ. And then what happened? This guy was set on fire, man. he wrote most of the New Testament. Saul became Paul. He had that scripture and somewhat of a relationship with God at that time. But this Saul doesn't seem like there's a vacuum there. And as we read on and study on, we're going to find out some things more. We're going to just kind of see, learn, and grow in this and teach us more. So how, you know, going back to our question, so how are we going to get ready then? How can we not be a Saul? Well, first of all, knowing that, you know, we need to be tested. You know, in our walk with Christ, we need to be tested. You know, if you haven't noticed, when you open up the Word of God and start reading it, you start getting tested. If you're not getting convicted, if you're not going, oh man, oh, I need to pray and confess my sins, then you're not reading it with the right type of eyes or open heart. See, when you read the Word of God, you should be going, yeah, I feel like that. I feel like David crying out and going, why, Lord? Why are you so quiet? Why aren't you helping me? You know, or you should be like some of those other guys, like a Hannah, you know, and all of her anguish, just praising God. What a challenge that is for me. Boy, when things are going wrong for me, I'm not praising anybody. I'm going the opposite direction with it. So all these things, when you read the Word of God, when you pray, there's a testing and there's a challenging going on there. And when you're walking in the path of Christ, there's going to be testing. They're going to be going, oh, you got religion? They're going to be going, you got religion? Who are you? I remember you. You used to be that guy over there, got drunk every night and had used all these words and nobody could trust you. You got religion? Wow, you're different. Your life is changing. Your words are different. You don't do those things as much anymore. See, the testing happens. See, God has called, He's called every one of us. When we come before Christ and we receive this gift of salvation, this faith that gives us salvation, see, He changes us. There's a changing already going on. And He calls us to do certain things. Well, to be a witness, first of all, and to follow and be obedient to Him, and to be in His Word, and to be praying, and many different basics. But He's also asking us to persevere and be resilient, because we are going to be tested in this world, one way or another. We're going to be tested. And He's going to strengthen us. He's going to show us that He can provide for us, that He can help solve problems for us, and He can enable us through it all. And we're going to grow closer to Him. We're going to know Him more. We're going to trust Him more. We're going to be able to do things that we couldn't do before. Not in our own strength, just by God's grace and how He just speaks through us or does things through us or gives us wisdom for that certain situation to be able to pray or help somebody or whatever it is that He has for us. But don't hide. Get out of the baggage area, the supplies. Get out of the cakes and the cookies. Get out of that and step up. See, that's what we need to do. We need to step up and walk a closer walk and really open our hearts and depend and trust in Him and do what He's already said, His Word, the Word of the Lord tells us to draw near to Him, and He will draw near to us. Incredible things happen. So He's asking us these things, to step up, get out of the supply area, step up and allow Him to guide and direct our lives, our walk with Him. And through the trials and tribulations and all that stuff, yes, our faith will grow stronger, like an Abraham who waited 25 years for this child to be born. And he was born when he was 100 years old. And he is the father of faith. And he's our brother. Did you know that? Abraham's our brother. Because we have faith too in Christ. And so did he. Amazingly. And it was a gift to him that God gave him. And it's a gift to us that God has given us. A wonderful gift. So in the ending here, with all the confusion, all the questions, all the things we might even be asking ourselves, what we really do, how you respond to this call, this God saying, step up. Are you ready? Ready or not? Step up. Ready or not? Step here. I got you. Well, what you need to do is you need to pick up your sword, which we like to fight with, right? To live our life with. And we need to bow down and raise it up and say, hey, I give my sword of rebellion to you. I offer it to you. Now I'm yours. And do as you will. Do as you will. For your kingdom's glory. That's how you get prepared. Here, right? And then you're out there. Walk in the paths of Christ in His Word. And it says this in the Word in Colossians, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Woo! And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light, For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh my, did you hear this? You have to go to Colossians 1:9-14, just read it again and just allow God to speak to you. All that power working in us. It's not us that provides the power. It's not us that provides the skill. It's not us that provides anything but our bodies being offered to him as a sacrifice for him to use through us, to him to empower us, for us to depend upon him and him to reveal himself through us. That's kingdom building. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word and just continue on in what you have for us and teaching us so many different things. Help us stand firm, Father. Help us to draw to you and to get into your word and allow you to challenge and teach us, to give us those crash courses, but always to surrender to you and to follow in obedience. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, to give up our rebellious sword to you, unlike the Israelite people at this time, and to be able to just surrender to you and your will and allow you to do amazing things in us and through us to bring glory to your name. We give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ, and all this people say, amen.